Welcome. This week's show with Dr. Susan K. Williams and Jackie McDonald of the Royal School of Needlework is sponsored by the Embroiderers Guild of America and Sassy Jack Stitchery. A couple of things from the Embroiderers Guild of America at egausa.org that are available to members and non-members. One is the very popular virtual lectures series. And I've participated in a couple of these, and they are really outstanding. Coming up now, registration is May 10. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, that's registration will be tomorrow, May 10 to 17. And the next lecture is June 12, and that is Maya Textile Artists, Passionate Celebration of Cultural Heritage with Diane Herman. And if you've ever had a chance to listen to Diane Herman talk about anything, it is absolutely worth it, and I'm sure this will just be an outstanding presentation. You go to egausa.org and register May 10 to 17, and then you get into a lottery for 100 guests. This is each of these lectures limited to 100 guests, and so you have to register and get in on the lottery, and then they'll let you know if you are a participant. Otherwise, you'll go on a waiting list. But worth taking a shot, because these are just excellent. And then the next one will be on July 10, and registration for that is June 14 to 21, and that's the story of seed beads presented by Naomi Smith, and it's an exploration of indigenous beadwork from a historical and contemporary perspective. No doubt an excellent piece also. So check those out whether you're a member or not. And I really encourage you to be a member of the EGA. They offer so much for needlework techniques and interests of all kinds. It really is worth it whether you join through a local EGA chapter or, as I did, become a member at large. Either way works out really well and opens the doors for you. And then also, if you're a non-member, members and non-members, there's a whole series of free projects available on the website. And those allow you to try out techniques and burn up a little stash along the way. But if you want to experiment with something, there's something there for everyone. And then, of course, remember the Magnificent Stitch National Seminar coming up September 1 to 5 in the Chicago Marriott Downtown Hotel. And a decision at the end of the month, end of May, on whether that will be live or virtual. But either way, register if you're interested. Register now. Registration is open through June 15 at egausa.org. So check all of that out. And then, as I always recommend, spend a little time in the gallery at egausa.org. You'll thoroughly enjoy that. Our other sponsor, Sassy Jack Stitchery, and we have several things going on with Kim. Marion Lang, sampler. The Botany Bay Sampler, Joanna Cabanoff's Take Wing Sampler, and Amanda Rose Mary Jane Fry 1861 Sampler are all projects that we have going on right now with Sassy Jacks. Kim has charts and kits on her site. In addition to that, here is a word from Kim about where she's at with her shop and moving to the Baird House here in the fall.
Sassy Jack Stitchery is happy to be a sponsor of Fiber Talk. We so appreciate all the heart that Gary and team put into their show, and we always look forward to each episode. Thank you, Fiber Talk, for all you do for our needlework world. Sassy Jack's is a vibrant needlework shop located in the mountains of western North Carolina, just north of Asheville. We're in the process of moving our shop to its forever home in a historic folk Victorian on the National Listing of Historic Places, just 3 miles down the road from our current location. While we're moving, you can find us in all our normal online haunts, our website at sassyjackstitchery.com, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We can't wait to open our doors and welcome you into our new old home. It was always the plan to be in this beautiful old house, and we've invested a huge chunk of our hearts into its renovation. Every renovated board, every push-button light switch, every old porch swing has lovingly, mostly, been placed there with our own hands. It has a wonderful, warm, welcoming feel about the place already, and your stitchy joy and laughter with friends will really make it home for Sassy Jacks. So look for us online for the next few months, as we'll be filling online and phone orders as per usual, and we'll be looking forward to the spring at the Baird House in Asheville, North Carolina. When the time comes, we'll leave the light on for you, just like your mom did when you were a kid, so you'll know it's time to come home. Now on to the show.
Thank you.
back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artists this week, all two of them from the Royal School of Needlework, Dr. Susan K. Williams, who is the Royal School's chief executive and been with us at least once, maybe twice. Anyway, welcome back, Susan. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Gary. Yes, this is my third visit to Fiber Talk.
I thought so. I didn't look it up, but I thought so. Yeah, we're going to have to go have a tea afterwards or something, I think. Well, welcome back. Good to have you with us. And then also with us today, Jackie McDonald. Jackie, welcome.
Hello, Gary. Lovely to meet you.
Yes, you too. Yep. I'm getting through most of the staff here, I think, at the Royal School. I'm excited about that. So we've gathered here because we're going to talk about the Royal School and technology and what's happened in the pandemic, but we're really going to focus on a new effort that the school is putting together that is very exciting, and we'll get to that in a minute because we're going to spend some time on this. This is really neat. So Susan, tell me, been talking with people and just doing a lot of thinking about it as this pandemic, we hope, finds its way to an end or at least subsides. And we were talking before we recorded here, there's research out there that in this 1 year, year and a few months time, our use and implementation of technology has moved forward. The one you saw was 7 years faster than it normally would, which is frightening, but really good. You know, and I look at it in terms of benefits long-term for needlework, and particularly for a global operation like the Royal School. What kinds of things have you guys learned? What kinds of things do you see staying in the program that you'll take advantage of? Are there some things that when this pandemic subsides, you're just going to let them fall off the table? What are you seeing for the future here is in terms of use of technology to reach a greater audience?
Well, it's kind of where do I start? As you said, it's next month we will have been a year online. And that if you'd said that to me just over a year ago, I would have said not going to happen. In the RSN terms, we're never at the forefront of technology, or not usually. So really, I think we've moved ahead at least 10 years, at least, in the past year. And we started with our short courses. And then we realized that we could do short courses, not just on the British time frame, sort of 10 till 4, but we could do them 3 till 9 in the evening, and that equated till 10 till 4 on Eastern time, so that we could then welcome people from North America to be part of that. And since then, well, we've exploded in a way with the kinds of things that we've tested and tried out. So, for example, at Hampton Court, no one was going to come all the way out to us to do an evening class. But we've got lots of people doing evening classes now. And it's that thing in the week you can look forward to every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whichever evening it is. Mm-hmm. And we've also taken on board that there are certain things that the RSN specializes in, and we've majored on that. So, in fact, one of the things that we launched was Technical Tuesdays. And in fact, Jackie is our lead tutor on Technical Tuesdays. And it's a program that runs for a couple of hours each Tuesday. And over 30 weeks, you will learn 30 different stitches from crewel work. Because, as you know, that's got the broadest range of stitches. It's got so many. And you do a different stitch each week, and you can learn a bit about its history or how it's been used and how you might use it. So it's a real way to develop your skills. And we started off with Jackie doing one class, and she'll talk about it herself in a moment. But we started off with one class, and we had such an enormous waiting list that we didn't just double it into two classes. We made it into four classes to meet to meet demand. Uh-huh. And that's one of the things that, you know, with a physical classroom, we would not have been able to do that at all. But with everybody working in their own homes, and we can have things running simultaneously. So that's been a great learning. People have really enjoyed Technical Tuesdays. Jackie, would you like to say a little bit about it and what you've been doing?
Yes, I think that the students have really enjoyed the continuity and meeting up with the same people each week, especially over lockdown, because they're sort of trapped in their own homes. Mm-hmm. But they're already chomping at the bit for knowing what's coming next year and what they can be learning for the next subject.
Yeah, that's great. Well, because it's interesting to me, because when you look at the Royal School, and so much of it is focused on those live classes in the palace there, and decades and decades of doing it essentially the same, and then to have this foisted upon you, the culture change has had to been a bit of a challenge. But then I also see a benefit in that everybody on your staff is so well trained that you can just have people go off individually and teach and know that the caliber of education is going to remain at a high level, even though it's not in the classroom.
Absolutely. One of the hallmarks of the RSN is that people can work collectively on something and it will look like the work of one person. And in that, on that basis, they can be, you know, 200, 300 miles apart, but we know that they're absolutely teaching the same thing to the same standard. And that's fantastic. And it is about using the resources that we have, the fact that we have a group of teachers. It's not just the same one person. We have a great group, and that's people who've come through both our apprenticeship and from our future tutor program that gives us that resource. And again, it's one of the things that makes us different and special, having that collective group of tutors. Yes. So, for example, in the summer, we're really bringing a whole pile of those tutors together because we are running our first ever international online summer school. And we've got 19 different tutors being involved in that over 2 weeks, three different time zones. And, it's just going to be a great opportunity. We've got a mixture of classes and talks and, you know, just fantastic to get people together. And it'll be fun to meet and mingle with them. And I have the opportunity and the fun to be able to drop in to different classes at different times and see how they're getting on. But I think for quite a few people, this summer is not going to be quite the summer one would normally have. And so I thought, you know, let's give people a week of stitching, a week of downtime, a week just to have some fun instead of all the misery and everything else that we're living with at the moment. That's really taken off. You know, we've got people from Australia, from New Zealand, from Canada, America, from many countries of Europe and UK, all going to be participating in this.
And see, that's the thing that excites me, on your behalf, but for organizations of all types in needlework, is this has literally thrown the doors open in terms of outreach around the globe for you.
It certainly has, yes. I mean, the desire to come to the RSN is there in many people worldwide, but this way we can kind of bring it to their door. And even our most prestigious program, the certificate and diploma in technical hand embroidery, we have now started delivering that online. And as of beginning of May, we've got six full classes starting. That's 36 people starting on that. And they, again, are from all over the world. So it is fantastic to be able to offer that. And we do talks now. I mean, we used to do talks. We've always done talks, but in situ. Now we do them online. And literally, we have had people from South Africa and Ghana to Norway and Sweden and New Zealand, Australia and Japan to the west coast of the US, Colombia, just everywhere. people are participating, and that is truly fantastic.
So that was I was going to ask you if the crown jewel of your educational program, the certification diploma program, if you were making that available online, and you are, wow, yep. That, you know, how many people have longed to participate in that, but to have the money and time to travel to England to participate is just a barrier too high. And so now that's gone away then.
It has indeed. Yes, we are offering that online, and we're starting that at different times. So the first groups are just finishing, having done the Jacobean Cruel Work module. They're just finishing and can't believe how quickly it's passed, because I dropped in to the final class for one of the groups a couple of days ago, and they said, oh, you know, it's gone so quickly, but we've really enjoyed it. And, you know, again, there were people there from many different places, and yet all part of the same group, and had really enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Jackie, for you as an instructor, tutor, what has this been like? The culture shift, the adjustment to teaching online. What has this been like for you? Has it been a challenge early on and now it's more run of the mill, or still something you work at every day?
It was a challenge to start with. I was a little bit terrified of being on screen. But actually, I'm loving it now. It's wonderful to reach so many people and them to really get a good understanding, because they get such a good view of such intricate detail.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of online and in the classroom, because it's kind of forced us to use when people are spread out, we now use a visualizer for day classes and a big screen, so people can get a, particularly with things like stump work, very tiny things, people are getting a much better view of what you're doing and the angle of your needle and
Working out the hardware and getting the equipment and the mechanics in place, I'm sure was a gigantic hill to climb.
It was a little bit, yeah. Because of the stitch bank, I'd already got a sort of setup for cameras and things like that,
mm-hmm.
viewing my work. But yeah, the whole Zoom thing was quite scary.
I think for everyone, being on camera, being on a microphone, because I'm a former teacher, and being in the classroom is one thing. You close the door and you're just with the students, and it just is a synergy. But then when you throw all the technology in the middle, it becomes a different beast. So yep.
Yeah, we all had to kind of come to terms with seeing images of ourselves. Because, again, if you're in the classroom, you just look at the student. You know the students have to look at you, but you don't have to look at you. So, but we've kind of all got used to that now, and you just move on.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. Even I remember the first podcast I did. It's just it's creepy to listen to your own voice. And yeah, you have to get past that. Yes, it's, and uncomfortable. I agree. Well, Jackie, you mentioned the stitch bank, and let's talk about this. So this is a new program, a new effort from the Royal School called the Stitch Bank. Give us whoever's going to tell it. Maybe Susan, I don't know, but what's the origin of this, and what are we trying to do with it?
Okay, so this is the RSN Stitch Bank, to give it its full title.
Okay.
And it is, here in Britain, we have a place called Kew Gardens. It is a very, very famous botanic garden. And it has a seed bank. And the idea is that the seed bank is that if they keep and preserve those seeds here, should there be really significant crop failure anywhere, people can come to the seed bank and get that seed and regrow that crop again. So in a way, that was the origin of, in fact, one of our colleagues who's now retired, Jill Holdsworth, coming up with the idea of the Stitch Bank. And so the RSN Stitch Bank ultimately wants to contain every stitch in the world. Mm. Now, we have no idea how many stitches that might be.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, do you have a count yet?
Nope, we don't have a count. And, you know, because some stitches have gone round the world. You know, chain stitch, you can find chain stitch 3,000 years ago in China, and that has certainly gone all the way around the world. And then there are other stitches that may only have been used in small areas. Plus, in certain stitches, you're looking more at pattern than the pure stitch. So we're trying to combine all of those things together. And we're starting small because, you know, we haven't got the wherewithal. The money that we have to do this has all been donated by people and charitable trusts. So we have to start small. But the idea is, if we bring all these together, that it will be an online resource for everybody to use. And so we have got, there'll be an illustration of the stitch. There'll be information about the stitch where we know a bit of its history. There will be a video of how to do the stitch. And Jackie has been working on some of these, and she'll tell you more about that in a minute. Also, there'll be some of the how the stitch is categorized. So which group of stitches does it come with? And the aim is that it's not just for stitchers, but also people like textile curators, because as there are not that many stitch specialists, they can look at a garment, they can look at a stitch, and then they can come onto the Stitch Bank and they can match it up and say, oh, it's that stitch, you know, so that it would really help them in their work as well. And stitch historians, because I think the real thing for me is that we don't realise how quickly stitches disappear. They disappear physically because textiles are very fragile and they disappear. But, for example, I'm currently writing a history of the RSN. And a few weeks ago, I was looking at some of the work we had done during the Second World War. And there was a publication called Needlework in Wartime. And it had a whole range of stitches in it. And I looked at these stitches and I thought, oh, I don't think we use any of those at the moment. And if it wasn't captured, we would lose those stitches and knowledge of them and when they were popular and so on. And so it's really going to be this important repository for all these stitches, giving stitchers a much, much more varied use, you know, of stitches that they could incorporate into their work, and just introduce them to so many more stitches, rather than the perhaps 10 or 20 that they use all the time. And I think it's just going to be really exciting.
So this will be something available to anyone at any time, no cost. What is your model for that?
Yes. So we've had, the stitches have been sponsored. And we've had some lovely people, and we've had individuals who sponsored them in the name of a friend, or their mum or their grandmother who taught them to stitch. And we've also had some groups supporters. We've had ones in Australia, in Britain, in America, in Canada, sponsoring a stitch. Going forward, ideally, we want to kind of run it on what I might call the Wikipedia model. Mm-hmm. Which is that they put it up for free, but then 1 month a year, they try and ask for support to keep it going. And if we can do that and get support to keep it going, that would be terrific. But in the short term, we are also asking charitable trusts, particularly to help us with gathering the stitches from international countries, because there are many countries that have a very strong stitch culture, Hungary and Turkey and Palestine and, you know, all of these kind of countries, a strong stitch culture. And we want to work with them to try and get their stitches online. And so for that, we will be looking for some bigger chunks of funding, mm-hmm, from non-profit trusts.
And just to be clear now, anyone, any group, any individual can sponsor a stitch in the bank.
They can indeed. They can come onto the RSN website and follow it through to help us, and it will tell you about the stitch bank, and they can go through there and sponsor a stitch. They can sponsor it in their own name. They can sponsor it in the name of somebody else or a whole group. We've got all of those. And it's great. It's going to be great to look at it when we go through at the end and see all the names of all the stitches and alongside them, all the names of all the sponsors.
Yeah, this is fun. I love it. So where are we at right now in the infancy of putting together stitches? I'm probably getting the cart before the horse, but yeah, where are we at in terms of that?
I'm going to pass you over to Jackie at this point, I think, because Jackie's been working on some of the individual stitches.
We've got about 250 stitches to launch with, and I think we've got over 500 on the list to do. And this is before we move on to other countries.
Oh, this is just stitches from within the Royal School, then, what you guys could put together.
Well, it's stitches that we know generically.
Right, sure.
That would be recognized by people all over. And then the fun will be looking to see, you know, that a particular culture has a stitch that's similar to that, but it's not quite the same. And then we can add it in. So those kind of 500 are a sort of starting point. But even then, as I say, within British stitch, there will be stitches that have gone out of fashion. And if we come across older textbooks, we can find them and we can add them in. So we're looking for stitches all the time to add in and enhance them all.
Okay, Jackie, so the first thing comes to my mind, how do we organize these things? Is that, do you have a pretty solid framework, or is that something that's evolving as this develops?
The main framework we sort of developed over the first 2 years and sort of added more data. But as things have been added, we've sort of added more structure to it. So yeah, it's constantly evolving.
Okay, and are you trying to group stitches, or is it just we have stitches there? We have a name, we put them in alphabetically, and let it go. I mean, that's got to be. There's so many gray areas there. I got to believe that's difficult to do that.
Yeah, it's very difficult. We've sort of recorded it sort of under its name. Any alternative names it might be known as. There's also the technique that it's associated with, the types of uses, what you might need it for.
Okay, so all right, so now I'm seeing in terms of a search engine, a lot of versatility in finding stitches then.
Yes, there is. There's both looking at it by a sort of naming aspect, by the kind of work that it might be seen in. So particularly, you know, if you are that researcher or that textile specialist and you've got a piece of goldwork embroidery, then you start with the goldwork stitches. But also there are little picture icons. So if you really have no idea what a name for stitch is and where you're starting from, you can start with the picture icons, and then that will give you a bit of a clue, and then you can go in that way. So there are, you know, three or four different ways that you can approach this to find either a specific stitch or to just have a look through and find new to you stitches.
I can see hours and hours spent just looking at stitches. Hours. What fun. Now, the pictures that you sent me, Jackie, the way you're presenting the stitches is flat out amazing. The detail, the clarity of the images, the diagrams, all of them will have the same basic set of images and directions and information.
each entry is recorded under its name, its alternative names, as the short summary, technique the stitch is associated with, and its uses. But the main part is the entry, the method, step-by-step text, photographs and illustrations. Some stitches have videos, and some will even have animations.
Oh.
If it suits the technique.
Mm-hmm.
And also David has come up with this really clever little button to flip the view of the photographs and the illustrations, giving you the view so that you can start the stitching from the opposite direction.
Oh.
And then there's also referencing the history of the stitch literature and where it's been recorded in history, embroidery books, and what page that they can be found on.
Yeah, yeah. The images I saw were so impressive. They're clearly not cell phone shots. You're using high quality photography equipment and really getting the clarity, and so you can see the fibers and see the threads and how they lay against each other. And I just the few that I looked at, it was very clear that you would have no trouble figuring out how to do any given stitch.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. Thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, most of the photographs and the videos have been taken on an iPhone.
Really?
And close-ups have been, achieved with a clip-on macro lens.
Oh, that's how you did it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I've got a slate frame and on some sturdy trestles to avoid the subject wobbling. And I have my camera or my phone suspended above the fabric on a rig that can be maneuvered into position to get the most suitable angle to make that particular stitch method or the needle angle understandable.
Canon and Nikon just took another hit to their business. Well, it works. And I guess then that speaks so well about today's cell phones. Held in the proper angle with good lighting and the quality they can provide. Because, boy, I was impressed. They really look good. It's a nice presentation.
Well, one of the other little gadgets that I've got is a remote clicker,
mm-hmm.
which I hold in my mouth if both hands are busy, and this really helps to avoid the camera shake, uh-huh. particularly when you're doing the really close up with the macro lens.
I'll keep talking because I'm developing a mental image of you working on these that's quite entertaining.
Okay. Well, I kind of usually start each entry by practicing the best way to do the stitch and analyzing the movements needed to create the whole stitch and break it down into step-by-step components.
Mm-hmm.
And then writing the text to explain, and then taking the photograph to represent that movement. And then I'll do a little video to show all the steps together. And then I'll write up any additional text and summary and any hints or tips and upload it to the back end of the website. And then David takes my photographs and videos to create the illustrations or animations to complete the entry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think having the text and the photos and the videos and the illustrations really helps the viewer to understand, because I think we all learn differently. So
yes.
Some people learn from the text and some people will get better from the videos or just the illustrations.
Right. Well, that was the other thing that really hit me was that exactly that you're offering the information in three or four different ways so that no matter how you learn best, you can gain information from it, the way that it speaks to you. So that's fantastic. Yes.
Absolutely. We're a teaching establishment, so we understand that people learn in different ways, and but this was therefore important to explain it in more than one variation.
Right. So Jackie, then what you're describing then, each stitch then is a and tedious isn't the right word, but is a drawn out, very careful process just to get everything, each step, each little nuance down so that people can do the stitches correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. sort of even just the stitch angles helps you can get that stitch correctly mm-hmm. worked.
Now, just you or a team of people working on this?
There's David and I started the project in 2017. David Knight is a very talented website designer. And the two of us spent the first 2 years, designing the site and investigating how we're going to structure the data and the language. And then we got the go-ahead to continue. So we started adding more stitches and recording the information. And then there's Masako Newton, who's our newest member of the team. She's already part of the RSN studio team at Hampton Court Palace. So has the embroidery knowledge, but she's also got past experience in editing too. So she's been invaluable over the past few months at monitoring sort of duplicates under different names and helping us streamline the number of stitches for our focus as we approach release, mm-hmm. as well as helping me with the data entry.
Yeah. Now, when will this be available to the public?
So we're going to be launching the first part in July, actually to coincide with the International Summer School.
Mm-hmm. So then, however many stitches are in there, and then we'll just be able to watch them grow from there.
Absolutely, yes. So people can see the ones that are adopted, they can see the ones that are still orphans, and they can also look for new ones that we're wanting to put on and help support with those as well. So, yeah, but it's going to be great when it's launched and people can really see how it's come about and how useful it's going to be. And then I think that will help gain more support for it.
Yes. Now, for folks who are listening to this, Susan and Jackie sent me a bunch of photos. I will just make a slideshow of them on the page for this podcast so that you can just go through that and see what the presentation is like and what you will experience when you use the Stitch Bank. So people will be able to see that. Susan, you mentioned something that had not occurred to me as I was preparing for this. And that is the curators and the researchers and the historians and the benefit it'll be to them. That's got to be just a gigantic step forward for them in terms of doing their work.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm very aware that all budgets are stretched. So there might be, in a museum, particularly a small regional museum, there might be one person who's responsible for textiles, and they might only have a sort of specialism within that. And yet they pick up an item and it's got embroidery on it, and they've got to look and say, where did this come from? And what kind of stitch is this? And we will be there for them. They will be able to come and have a look, and that will help them in their work as well. So, yeah, that's going to be an extra asset for them to be able to use.
Yes, that asset in a huge way, I would think, just to have a central source and to be able to see how these stitches are put together and then match them up with whatever they're looking at, whatever they're researching. I got to believe it's just going to be huge. And then, of course, I'm sure that there's a two-way street there in terms of once they realize this is available and then doing their research on some antiquity, be able to share stitches that may pop up there that you could add to the bank.
Oh, yes, that would be fantastic if they can bring to us additional stitches that they've found. Yeah, we'd be delighted to add them.
Yeah. No, that I see a real nice two-way street there for people who are in the back rooms with microscopes and magnifiers every day. That's pretty huge. So this starting in July, and is there, Jackie, a goal for you want to have X number of stitches, or is this a process that happens in its own time and you just whatever's there is there, and we just keep adding to it?
Well, we'd like to release with the 250 that we've got completed with all the videos and all the information and all the text and photographs mm-hmm. ready to go. I mean, there are photos in the other 250, but not everything's complete. So we're just making sure those ones are ready to go. So there's no blank spaces.
Okay. So there'll be a nice body of stitches when you start, and then over time they just grow.
Yes.
And what yeah, is the, do you have others of your colleagues that you say, hey, go look at this thing and see if it makes sense to you? Is there a whole testing process for each stitch?
Yes, me and Masako are both doing that at the moment.
Okay.
But I think we'll send it out to other tutors as well to test, make mm-hmm. sure that it's fit for purpose.
Yes, many of them have already seen, they've had sneak previews of it already. So, it will be part of the pre-launch activity, shall we call it, in sort of May and June. Yeah.
Yeah. The in terms of the RSN courses themselves, this is a gigantic, and I think I've said gigantic three times now, and I got to stop that. But a real huge asset just for the courses within the school itself.
It certainly is. It'll be very helpful for people on any of the courses to be able to go in and see a stitch, particularly, you know, we all have the stitches that you can't quite get your head round. And so to be able to go, how did they do French knot, bullion knot, whatever it might be, how do I do that again? And they can go in and have a look at this. That's going to be a real asset, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, just to be clear here, anybody can submit a suggestion for a stitch. Anybody can sponsor a stitch. So for embroider guild groups or needlepoint groups, this would be something they might want to sponsor to help further the cause here. Individuals, like you said, somebody, you know, their grandma or their favorite aunt. So people can, and the cost, as I recall, was not all that high. So it's quite approachable for even an individual.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are two price points, £135 and £228. I'm sorry, I haven't done the dollar conversion for it, but it gives you an idea. We've already had quite a number of groups that have participated, and that's lovely. And often the groups, when they're given their stitch, that they will then go and do a project linked to that stitch. And that's been quite fun as well. And then, as I say, mostly by individuals who, some in their own name, and that's great. But it's been really nice to hear some of the stories. And in fact, we were a bit, because of the whole hoo-ha of last year, we were a bit delayed in sending out the certificates of adoption. So I've been emailing out, and if people wanted hard certificates, then I've been sending those. And it's been fantastic, because when some people got the certificate, they were so excited that they sponsored another stitch. And that was fantastic too.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So, and I think we said before, the instructions are on the Royal School site for how to do that. So people can just look that up. Yeah. And I'll put a link with the podcast so that people can go there directly. So Jackie, the burning question for me, after working on this for the past couple of years, are you a better stitcher?
Yes, definitely. I've learned some stitches that I didn't know before.
Is your technique improved, or what does that do when you're going through it? It's such a minute analysis of every stitch. What does that do to your overall technique? Do you find yourself slowing down as you're doing regular stitching and analyzing it, or has it made you faster and more efficient?
I think it's made me faster and more efficient, but better at teaching, because I can describe the process more in depth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there, I figured there was a payoff there somewhere, because you don't do all that work and not get something out of it. Yeah. Susan, do you have you spent time studying these things in the bank and learned from it too?
I have learned from it, and I think it's great to be able to see the videos and to understand. As I say, for that stitch you can never quite remember how to do, that's really, really useful. And I'm looking forward to seeing, because I've seen little bits of it, I'm looking forward to seeing it as a whole block, and then you can actually play around with a bit more, look at the different stitches and think, you know, it might give you inspiration for a project. Oh, that's an interesting stitch, you know, that you could work with. And I know some of our supporters who look specifically for the interesting stitch, the one they haven't used before. So for all of these people, it's going to be great to have the resource.
Yes, clearly so many ways that this is going to be a benefit. This is fantastic. Yeah, really great. Well, ladies, thank you. That's bravo. Congratulations. Looking forward to having this go live and having people being able to benefit from it, and hope that people will also contribute to keep it going and make it grow. Financially support, sponsoring stitches, the whole bit. Everybody around the globe jumping in to make this go, because this will be a tremendous resource. So thanks for taking the time today to tell us about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary.